On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. New Miracle-Gro Organic raised bed and garden soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like bad dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
What I learned over the last couple of days is important for everybody that's watching CNBC.
And that is?
I think that what you're seeing is essentially a pushback against the establishment in a really important way. You have a lot of people, and I would encourage anybody who is dismissive of this thing to go into Wall Street Bets and actually just read the forum.
It's
called the one where they spy on him.
Government spy.
The one where they spy on him is actually a great name.
Government spying on him. Love that movie.
The one where they spy on him. I feel like the more deep tube you've been getting into, you're getting a little bit more of that like manic, frantic boomer in their basement energy. So,
well, am I wrong? I mean, stock markets are tanking everywhere left and right. I mean, you got military industrial complex, dude, just up our asses most days. So it's like, look around.
That's fair.
Good morning.
That's a fair point. That's fair point. Anyway, so this is
how's
just
your
Reddit.
Stonk portfolio. Sorry.
A weekly podcast about the internet by way of Reddit, the front page of the internet. My name is It's Your Dad.
You know, I'm dog boobs, but I'm going by bear boobs today because it's bear market.
Yeah, bear boobs. I'm My Friday, but I'll be going by Bye High Sell Blow.
Oh, yeah, dude.
You know, I'm all
jokes,
about them drugs.
Jokes off the tip. So today we are doing, this is going to be an interesting one because we're not doing Wall Street Bets because we've been wanting to do Wall Street Bets for a long time, but you can't do Wall Street Bets in just like a single episode. It's going to have to be a big one, but what I would consider to be the most important moment in Reddit history, maybe, depending on how this whole thing shakes out, internet history,
yeah,
happened this past week, and we just had to talk about it. It's really,
yeah,
important, and it's really interesting, and it's also kind of confusing. So we wanted to do what we could to try to break this fella down, and of course we are talking about the great GameStop short market Wall Street Bets takeover of 2021.
Yeah,
you seem so excited.
I'm so excited for GameStop.
I mean, I'm really happy for him.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying this is when Redditors said game over to the boomers. A lot of people are saying that right now. A lot,
yeah,
of freaking people, dude, on the dark tube.
Dude, I don't know how you do it on the dark tube. That place is so seedy.
I'll bring you there sometime, but you know, wear one of those rubber suits.
Okay.
It's creepy down there.
Like a crime scene cleanup hazmat suit.
That would be a good job for you.
I would be good at that, I think. Crime scene cleanup.
But the crime scene, you're the crime scene cleanup girl who's like, who thinks she's a high level detective, like,
yeah,
Gil from Night Stalker.
Detective Gil. I think you missed something. He's like, can you just fucking clean up the bloodstains like you're hired to do?
Like, I found a quarter under the rug. Do you think that could be a clue? They're like, it's probably
no,
just a quarter under the rug. But I mean,
get the fuck out of here. How about? Yeah.
How about? You're a crime scene detective specifically in Fargo, North Dakota.
How about?
All right. So anyway, so as mentioned, this is a significant moment in history. I don't say that in jest. Actually, it's like, I don't know about you guys, because I think doing a podcast about Reddit kind of means that we are supposed experts on anything pertinent to Reddit. So yesterday morning. So this has been happening for a week essentially, but yesterday morning was it hit the Kathy and Hoda mainstream news networks.
That's when you know.
And so I got like 1,000 texts from people just being like, have you been buying stonks? Do you know what's happening on GameStop right now? What's going on with this Wall Street Bets thing?
Damn.
It's actually quite interesting because it's also to the point where I have friends who don't. Like, I had friends yesterday being like, what's karma?
Because
they don't know Reddit. Like, this is like their first exposure to Reddit. So this is like, you know, I think people are kind of being like, oh, wow, Reddit's pretty powerful, huh? And so I'm kind of like, yeah, man, let me do a goddamn podcast for 180 episodes. You're my friend. What the hell's wrong with you? So, but I think that this is a really interesting introduction for people because it has now had very significant real world consequences. But the only other thing that it kind of reminds me of in a way was when the Boston bombing was happening.
And
the Reddit sleuths were on the case, and it became a thing where Reddit was trying to find them.
I mean, sure, they strung a few average citizens out to dry whose lives have never been put back together again. But hey, that's collateral damage, we call it in the biz.
They figured something out, you know?
There was clues. There were clues.
It's dangerously close to QAnon. You know, they're following some breadcrumbs
It was probably a precursor to the same QAnon people. Like 30% of those people are 100% QAnon, right?
Definitely. Yeah. So do we want to explain a little bit about the situation? So here's the thing for listeners out there. If you're like bare boobs over here, and you've bought one stonk in your entire life, and that stonk was for Snapchat right before Snapchat tanked, you probably are a little confused about what's going on here. So do we want to kind of do an idiot's guide to what exactly happened here?
I think that's appropriate. I think that this has been pretty confusing, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because it's like, in a lot of ways it's simple, but it's actually confusing because the stock market is just an odd thing where the strategy, what happens and why, and you know, economics, I think when you start getting into like how economics works, sometimes it's just like your brain breaks a little, or at least mine does, where I'm just like,
it took me reading what short selling was seven times and 2 hours for it to sink in as the simplest thing ever. And it's because I didn't know we were talking about investors. I thought we were talking about any old person. And I'm like, so how do I borrow from somebody and then sell it for a profit? Like, who am I borrowing from?
Right.
Well, I'll make a lot of metaphors during this podcast. So we'll wait till we explain short selling first. But one quick thing. Dad, I had similar conversations with some people in the last 2 days who I reached out to, are friends of mine who work professionally in financial, legitimate financial jobs and definitely understand this stuff at a granular level and things that we would not understand. And I reached out, I said, hey, I do this podcast about Reddit. Obviously, you're following the GameStop stuff, like interested in maybe coming on and like talking a little bit about from the financial side of the coin, and everyone's like, what's Reddit? Like, same thing. I'm like, oh, so a lot of people still have no idea what Reddit is and that it's this sort of like powerful force in society. And clearly, it's a powerful force. And so I think everybody will sort of know what it is after this time around.
It's funny because like Reddit almost feels like, in the same way that we're talking about how to explain short selling and what a hedge fund is and why hedge funds are so demonic, I feel like people look at Reddit and they go, what, it's like a forum? You know, it's like this weird thing where like people don't understand what it is. So I think it is similar. Reddit is an interesting place for this to have happened because we started this podcast with a little bit of the logic being that like it's very difficult to understand how trends happen in these communities. But when they pop in a really significant way. And so, you know, as I've been talking to friends about this and I've been kind of explaining, like I know more about what happens on Wall Street Bets than I do what happens in terms of like hedge fund managing. I've been like, Wall Street Bets is known for doing stuff like this. Like they're kind of like they're nihilistic they're nihilistic traders who trade through the lens of what Robinhood has essentially created, which is anybody can download Robinhood, you put in some cashish, and then, you know, if you have a little bit of disposable income,
yeah,
to the point where, you know, like, I think that spending habits are really interesting, because I think some people, I don't know if people on Wall Street Bets are like, here's how I'm going to make $1 million. I think it's more like, here's how we fuck over the market, or like, Elon yeah. Musk is a golden god, buy Tesla, yeah. right? Like, people just do things for the sake of the meme. But I think what we're seeing now is that there's really important narrative value in the meme because of the mass of what is actually happening. So, all right, so let's get into this.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking we could start with is a really simple answer from an Out of the Loop post, because I feel like Out of the Loop on Reddit is always a great place to go to if you're like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, and I presumably we have the same Out of the Loop post that we're referencing, and I actually really like this post because, there are a couple really, really specific questions that are asked.
Yeah.
That are really helpful in terms of just like dissecting it in its pieces, right?
Because
that's the other thing too, is like, you're kind of, you know, some people are just like, do I buy now, right? And you're kind of like, well, that's a complicated question, right? So
yeah.
Seems like when everybody's talking about it, you missed it. But
so the Out of the Loop just simply proposes, like, this is the mega thread for Out of the Loop, posted 10 hours ago. I saw this as I was going to bed last night. Wall Street Bets, Stock Market, GameStop, AMC, Citron, Melvin Capital. Please ask all questions about this topic in the thread, right? So there's a huge amount of information about the topic and a large number of closely links, but fundamentally different questions being asked right now. So in order to not completely flood our front page with duplicate tangential posts, we're doing a mega thread. And that's also a good, by the way, for anybody who is unfamiliar with Out of the Loop, it is kind of the place when things like this happen. So it's actually pretty significant that there is a subreddit that it has a mega thread only about answering these questions. Because this is also feels like the whole Reddit community is like galvanizing around
Wall
Street Bets in a way right now. So, question, what's going on? Dog, do you want to take control?
Yeah, man, let's do this. Okay, so what the fuck's going on? Let me tell you what's going on. I'm just going to paste the answer I've been giving. Short selling, the concept I had a hard time with yesterday, involves borrowing a stock from someone who owns it with the purpose to return it at a later date and pay a small fee based on the value of the stock. But then once you have that stock, you borrowed it from Papa Moneybags over there, and you're like, I'm just going to borrow it. You're not using it right now.
Kensington.
Yeah, it's like it's sitting in your portfolio, and I'm going to borrow it and trade with it for a minute, and like I'll just leave you an IOU. So then you sell the stock and wait for the price to drop, and then you buy it back at the cheaper price. So you basically sell it for $100 and then buy it back for $1. You made $99 and you just return it to the original owner and they don't even know about the $99 you made. So it's like, it's pretty sneaky. It's like not, I don't know. It doesn't seem to indicate that this is not allowed or anything. It seems like it happens all the time.
Oh, it's allowed.
Does, yeah. This seems like it's a really big tactic for hedge funds, which is why I think a lot of people are kind of thinking that this is like a grand takeover of hedge funds, because they're just like, so I think actually there's a good post on the hedge fund thing further down, so let continue talking about this, and I'll try to get down to that as well.
So what short selling allows is people to make money. Actually, this is such a busy post on Reddit that the CDN is unable to reach the servers, and like I can't even reach it right now.
Amazing.
So it allows people to actually make money off the drop in price of a stock. So the people who short sell, they want a company's stock to tank. So unlike regular stock trading, however, the potential losses of you being wrong are not limited. So like if that doesn't happen and the price doesn't go down, it goes way up, you're pretty fucked because you borrowed somebody's stock. You sold it thinking you were going to make money. And now if you have to give it back, you're going to have to buy it for a shit ton more money that you may or may not have. So if you short a company with a $10 share price, that price jumps to $100 a share. You just lost $90. So that makes sense.
Per share. So if you have 1,000 shares, that's 90 times 1,000.
Which is 12 million.
That's $90 million. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so You can see how it gets out of hand real quick.
So this is a fascinating odd ripple, by the way. So I think Reddit might be having some problems right now. It might have
all
like an overloaded server.
Mine was just not loading, but then it just loaded. So, but it did take like two, three minutes this morning.
Pretty fucking wild, man. What if the government's trying to shut it down?
Well, that's why.
It's very possible.
That's why we're here and
Bitcoin, you know?
Yeah, we need Dogecoin.
We're here on the case. Okay, continue, dog. Sorry about that.
All right, so since the start of the pandemic, this is where GameStop comes in. GameStop has clearly been struggling in a big way, such a big way that a lot of people, including major hedge funds, have decided to short sell GameStop stock a lot. So I feel like we've heard about this since the beginning of the pandemic, that GameStop, because we're all 90s kids. We all played N64 and went to GameStop to buy our games and stuff.
My wife at GameStop. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, man. I mean, God, I had my first blowy at GameStop.
We all did. It's a rite of passage.
Everybody did. There was the blowy section. Yeah.
The blowy section. Nobody went in that section.
The blowy box. It was awesome.
I actually had my first blowy at Bed Bath & Beyond, but we'll talk about that later.
That was a good place too. So everybody's like, and it kind of made an impact back then in the headlines because we're all like, aw, GameStop. We love GameStop.
Totally.
So people in these major hedge funds are thinking, GameStop is tanking. This is a perfect opportunity to short sell. So let's borrow our guys' GameStop stonks, and we're going to short sell them. We're going to make a shit ton of money.
Right.
It's so interesting. Like there's, and we'll get into this more, but it seems like there's like definitely an emotional attachment to this particular business. And hedge fund guys now creeping into the world of dudes who sit on the internet all day on Reddit. It's like, ooh, it's dangerous territory. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just there's an interesting symbology with GameStop. I think that's the thing, is like there's, because, you know, you're also seeing, I mean, I read a little bit that there have been some speculation about other stocks that they're trying to do the exact same thing to. Mm-hmm. Nothing, I don't think, is going to reach the heights of GameStop. I think it's kind of an anomaly, at least. And I think it probably set a little bit of a precedent for people. But I do think that they're doing it based on the meme, right? But the meme is not detached from the emotional side, which is GameStop is obviously symbolic. They're also doing it with the company who liquidated or who owns the liquidation rights of Blockbuster. So it's like it's things like that. Like Bed Bath & Beyond's a little bit of a weird one, but I think it also kind of represents the mall in my mind, where I kind of go, and then AMC Theaters is the same thing. It's like AMC Theaters is another company where you're just like, you know, it's a little bit of like, don't take this from us, but it's also like, you know, the people on Wall Street Bets are very smart, and they're also like, a lot of them do have a lot of cash, and, you know, let's finish reading this post, but like their proverbial leader is Elon Musk, but he's like the spiritual leader, not necessarily, you know, the
like
actual
leader.
But the word is that he has been in the Discord, though. Like, they have a Discord that was evidently taken down, and which is a whole other weird thing where I've never heard.
First,
there's a lot
the
of sketchy
Trump,
Discords
now
out there.
Now Elon Musk on Discord. I mean, That argument is like slightly attached to what's going to happen next year with who can communicate where and what people can shut down and what they will shut down for whatever purposes they see fit.
It's crazy.
So this could be the beginning of the end of us getting rich as fuck on GameStonks.
Dog, did you finish this post?
Not yet. Okay, so let's say I own a share of GameStop stock and you want to short it. I lend you my share, you sell it. Now someone else wants to short the stock as well. So they borrow the share from the person you sold it to, and then they sell it, and so on and so forth. If it happens enough times, you could have more people who owe back a share to the original owner than there are actual shares of the stock. So people can continue to short sell. Like, that doesn't seem like a good idea. So this happened to GameStop, which had 140% of its share sold short. This presents a problem for short sellers. If the price of the stock starts going up instead of down because there aren't enough shares to go around, if they decide that they all need to cut their losses and buy back the shares they owe at once. So that means there are more short sellers than there are shares. So if they all decide to cut their losses, they can't. They can't.
Right.
Some smaller investors, including those at Wall Street Bets, noticed this happening to GameStop stock and decided to take advantage. They bought up a bunch of the shares themselves, driving the price up and further limiting the availability of shares.
And this that's, that's pretty basic supply and demand. I mean, that's, right. you only have, you can't really do this on the scale that we're talking about with like ExxonMobil or McDonald's. Because right. there's just so many shares available that, like, you kind of need, like, a small army, which, you know, this is. I mean, the Reddit, like, 2.4 million people in Wall Street Bets is, like, certainly a small army.
Pretty
but,
small.
You know,
you need, like, a country to get the
Yeah, exactly.
Ones.
I mean, but this is very, like, because it's GameStop, it is a little bit more functional in this capacity.
Right.
With supply and demand curves, that is. So.
This is crazy. So basically, people at in Reddit were like, we want to fuck these guys over. Like, all these guys are short selling, which is basically capitalizing off of GameStop's failure.
Yeah.
And actually, like, kind of like, I don't know. It seems like it's, I don't know exactly if it leads to the demise or contributes to it more, but like,
yeah, it feels like it.
I feel like it does. Like, I feel like them actively short-selling stock is, like, actively not good for GameStop.
What's making, well, it's also weird. It's making money off of, like, the death of a company. And it's...
Yeah.
Right.
And you're kind of going, like, what... Where is that... In what part of the sort of business cycle of any company... Is there value in something failing? You know, it's there's no tangible value in the failure. It's just somebody placing a bet on the failure, right? So there's no difference than like placing a bet in boxing, you know, in the last round, once the guy's got no eyes and a broken nose, you're like, well, he definitely looks like he's going to lose. And so like, let's bet the house on, but they don't let you do that because it's too
late.
Obviously, you know?
Yeah.
It's already on the decline. So it's a weird thing to be, able to be profiting from, I think.
Yeah.
Well, and not even to be able to be profiting from, but because of the way, and this is, I think, where you get into the conversation about the Citron editorial. I don't even know what they do, but it's one guy who goes by Citron who makes these kind of bold predictions that seem to be market indicators. And then Melvin Capital, who's the company that collapsed evidently because of this. But if you are talking about short selling in this way and you announce that, hey, we're going to short sell on this thing, then that already drives down the value because you're kind of putting that narrative into the air saying like, hey, we think this stock sucks. So we as market indicators and people that are determining how the market works are going to short sell this thing, right? So GameStop goes, fuck, like they're betting on us. We're screwed. Right.
Yeah, the blood's in the water a little bit. And I think
the whole
economy in that world is built on just a belief and a confidence. And so once that confidence kind of goes away, you see these stocks tumble and plummet. And it's sort of like a, you know, from this company called Citron, it's like a death wish. It's like, you know, you've just been given the sort of stroke of death. And it's fucked because they're all paying attention to each other and then they can sort of like collectively collapse something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
for a profit for themselves. Like, it's gross.
For a profit for themselves. When, you know, all those kids that, you know, we all used to work at GameStop. We all remember the blowy room. Like, what about those kids? You know, where are they supposed to go?
What about those kids is what I want to know. Okay, but yeah, like you said, like they can basically create like a fucking battalion and take down a company with this bullshit. But on the other hand, all of the people on Wall Street Bets were able to do the same thing, but drive the price up. So meanwhile, and then furthermore, so this attention brought to the story, basically last summer, a share for GameStop was $4. Yesterday, it was $147 each. Today, it's $345 each. I'm pulling it up right now. It's down a little. It's $237.
Right. By the way, shout out for everybody who's actively paying attention to us for stock tips, which is smart of you, by the way, because we are successful stock traders here, the three of us.
Totally.
Tim Wage. I don't know Tim Wage, but we're gonna assume it's a trustworthy source giving us a tip on SNDL.
Right on, Sundial Growers. Okay.
Bye bye. That's what I say as a professional trader.
Yeah.
It's a bear market. And you buy.
No, and if everybody is not. If anybody who's listening is like, I've never bought a stock ever, probably the easiest way to buy a stock like within the next day or two is through Robinhood. We do not work for Robinhood. Right. They are not our daddy, but we would like them to be. But it's a stock trading platform where there's no fees. And so it's a free fee. Yep. It's a feeless trading platform. So once you set it up on your phone, it's all done digitally. Like, you know. That's another element to this story where sort of, you know, the younger crowd who's probably only using Robinhood's able to sort of go on Reddit and go on their phone, buy, sell, and you're not having to deal with a broker, you know? So it's kind of this, it's outside of the system.
I mean, that's the other interesting parallels. We're talking about GameStop being the primary stock in which all this stuff is happening.
Yeah.
As a symbology for the audience, I think of Wall Street Bets, but also I think Robin Hood and the idea of the way this kind of like quick
gamification.
Yes,
say it.
So the way that Robin Hood has kind of turned trading into something you can do on your phone really fast without really even thinking is like fucking Clash of Clans. You know what I mean? Like you just kind of like. Go in, it's real money, but also it's like, you know, how far is it from sports betting right now, right?
Right.
Which it really isn't. And I think that's the thing is like Wall Street Bets kind of thinks of this as a casino. And everybody's like, you can't think of it that way. It's a stock market. And everybody in Wall Street Bets is like, that's all you guys fucking destroy our economy almost every year doing it like it's a casino. Like, what are you talking about? It's clearly a casino.
Sports betting is probably less. It's the hardest thing to manipulate because the players are actually choosing for themselves versus all this other shit is manipulatable, right? It's
and
that's kind of what they do all the time. So sorry.
Totally. Dog. No, that's so true. So basically like the simplest thing that's going on right now is that these yuppie hedge fund bros that were short selling GameStop are losing money by the billions right now.
Right. Literally
billions, while like Redditors are making so much money that they're paying off their student loans, paying off their, you know, mortgage. Like I've seen comments in Wall Street Bets of people being like, I can't even believe this. I just paid off my mom's home. Thank you guys so much. Like for real. Like if you get in on Wall Street Bets, if you understand it and you, like, this is the thing that can happen. So I think this made such a big splash that there will be some sort of government response or something. Because at the end of the day, what happened here is that it made the market extremely unstable and, like, bizarro, unpredictable, whatever. The market's fucking fake anyway. But what that shows is, like, GameStop isn't a valuable company right now. Like the price went up to $3.45. It was $4 last year, but GameStop is still a struggling company underneath it all. It's nowhere near as valuable as its current share price, which means that eventually the bubble will burst and the price is going to come crashing back down. So anyone who buys in at the top expecting it to keep shooting up is going to lose a ton of money. So this is called the greater fool theory, where it's like a pyramid scheme. It's you're always expecting the greater fool to come along and buy it up at a higher price than you did. But eventually there aren't bigger fools out there. You're going to be the last one.
Yeah. And it's also interesting too, because this is I think it's one of those things where so there are very specific enemies in this that are getting fucked, right? Like Melvin Capital got absolutely destroyed. Like people are like kind of hitting at like the hedge funds. This is a little bit of like don't bet against us kind of energy. But the reality is, while this is also happening, a lot of Redditors are going to lose a lot of money, right? And then a lot of people. I actually think that the reality is that a lot of people in the hedge fund world are also going to make a ton of money because they will have seen this happen and they are going to be shorting at the high point of GameStop. Because what you said, dog, it's like GameStop is not a valuable company all of a sudden. I would argue that they are now more of a valuable company because of this narrative, because this is like where you get into interesting kind of brand conversations about like how brand works. But the fact that they have now had this wild history defining moment at their behalf means that there's going to be like the perpetuity of their brand awareness is going to be around for a long time.
Yeah.
And so their stock has gone up. Like their value has definitely gone up, but it doesn't deserve to be considered one of the most expensive companies in the world, like as a part of Tesla and shit.
Yeah.
So as it comes down, you know, if I was a fucking betting man, if I was like really taking this seriously, and I have not done this, but you know, quite frankly, like, this is the time to short the stock of GameStop, because at that point now, because it's so high, you're like, well, it's definitely coming back down. Like, there's no fucking question, right? So all of this has been done as an effort to straight up like fuck over a couple hedge funds symbolically, a lot less like, you know, because really what this has shown is like, you didn't realize we were a part of the forces that could do this, and because of that, listen to us, we're valid, we're reasonable, and there's a lot of other messages that are kind of thrown in there. So I think that did you read the whole thing, dog? I think there's another post I would like to go to.
Yeah, there is. And there, one thing about that though, about short selling GameStop now, knowing that eventually and ultimately it's going to drop again, is this user in the comments of this article, user Muroid, has a great point. In the abstract, he says that he or they or she says, I would say yes, you could be correct in saying that short selling game stock now is a good idea. But there's a saying that the market can remain irrational longer than you can remain solvent. So
that's
predicting
a Keynesian theory, right?
So yeah, so predicting the right amount or the right moment to do it can be extremely difficult or impossible. So if you get the timing wrong, it can be a big, expensive mistake.
I always measure by how many Miatas I've earned and am in the process of earning. And, and it's, you know, am I at 9 Miatas? Am I at 15 Miatas?
Damn.
It's kind of my barometer for wealth building. There's another interesting development that I'm reading. I just gave a plug to Robinhood, but fuck Robinhood now, because everyone on stock market, on / stock market, saying that Robinhood has locked out trading for GameStop amongst a few other stocks. So people are saying, should we boycott Robinhood and go to a different brokerage firm? Because it appears that Robinhood has been touched by, you know, the powers that be, the Illuminati, et cetera, and said to stop allowing trading. The Rothschilds,
the Hollywood pedophile ring has finally gotten to
Rothschilds. The big players. So now you're seeing, I don't know, I would say maybe market manipulation, but not being able to trade because of a safety concern, or, you know, which is essentially protecting the institutions that run the show in Wall Street.
And they have an interesting twist. Have some protective measures already in place. Like they halt trading when a stock is particularly volatile, and you saw that really early on. Like, I think earlier this week or last week, I kept getting these alerts on Wall Street Bets, because I've been in the Wall Street Bets community for a long time. I've never really engaged with it, but that I've been there, and you'll see halts on the trading often, and basically that means like if like the market collapses really fast, you straight up stop trading, because that's when everybody's like selling off, and like that has a really dramatic effect on the market. Because if people get spooked, people are so cautious about money, of course, that if people get spooked, they go, oh shit, 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 sell, 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 sell. And if everybody does that at once, then it completely fucks over everything. And so I think that that's probably happening a little bit on GameStop right now, where like the conversation we're having, where like people are trying to short at a certain height, and then like if people see that people are shorting at a certain height, other people are going to buy and other people are going to sell, and it's like it becomes so volatile that it is unsustainable. And I think that all the powers that be are trying to like put halts on it in that way, But yeah, so I think that
is it
really...
a free market? Is it a free market or is it a slave market? All I'm saying is I think somebody is running the show up there.
Totally. And there are definitely people running the show. That's
are pulling strings, dude, you know? All day.
Follow the money.
Follow the money.
Cui bono.
Cui bono.
Lindsey Graham.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's interesting. It is sort of like the fabric of our economy. So you want those safeguards in place. You don't want the stock market crash of 1929 or et cetera happening again. So to have these in place feels smart, but the people that are trying to fuck the man are probably a little conspiratorial about it, I would say.
Well, and this is why it's such a profound event in history, right? Is like we know, like, stocks are confusing. I think most people realize that. I think most people are very intimidated because most people don't have the liquid income to just be able to be like, oh, 10 grand? Fucking, I'm going to throw it on GameStop because of lol. Who cares, right? Like, you can't really do that. And I think that hedge funds, I think this is where I think we should probably talk about hedge funds, because hedge funds are really, like, there's the real narrative here in my mind is like the plebs, like this feels like a communist revolution, right? This is the proletariat uprising against the vanguard, in which case this is Reddit as normal people who like can't pay off their student loans and like want to be rich but also don't know how and like don't have access to the capital, versus hedge funds who just like light money on fire and fucking light cigars with it, you know what I mean? And so that's like when we see Melvin Capital take a $2.7 billion loan to pay for their losses that happened because of this, people are just like, hell yeah, that's what up. That's what we wanted, right? So here's a post about hedge funds. This is also actually from the same Out of the Loop post, just because, again, like Out of the Loop is just like so fucking so good for this stuff. Question, what is a hedge fund and how do they play into this? Hedge funds are managed funds that specialize in buying and selling stocks ridiculously fast using computer down to microseconds. So that's another huge part of this, is like there's an interesting technological play where Reddit is a technological thing, but it's about the humans that make the Reddit interesting, right? The hedge fund world is they're doing this manipulative bullshit, but using these computers so that there, it kind of feels like this is a little man versus machine too, in a way.
Mm. Now let me ask, can I go get one of these computers at my local Best Buy or Keyboards Wireless?
Interesting question. Actually, there's an interesting point at the bottom of this that I actually found last night, and I was like, damn, that's fucking crazy, about the computers they use. But anyway, so they take advantage of the momentary rise and fall of stock prices to glean tiny profits on each trade. In aggregate, though, they make money hand over foot. They all have very low latency connections to the exchange, but because speed is such a competitive advantage and because they are limited by physics, they will attempt to be as physically close as to the exchange as they can. Personally, I think they are cancer on the stock market. They hold so much power and operate at such mind-boggling speeds that the managers themselves cannot control them. This forces the exchange to have to have a kill switch that shuts everything down, as we discussed earlier, and undoes trades for a period of time. They have utilized this switch several times to avoid hedge funds causing literal financial collapse. They are a dangerous tool for the rich to leverage their money more effectively to make even more money. And then, so somebody had below, so great answer. I remember hearing an NPR segment about this, but didn't know what it was or what definition of a hedge fund was. So also, there's literally a room next to the stock exchange that houses all these computers to minimize cable length, because the cables in the room all have to be cut at the exact same length, because a difference in inches would give one computer a decisive advantage. So if any of these computers had a longer Ethernet cord, essentially, for lack of a better term, then they would lose money like a motherfucker. And anybody has like one more by like a tiniest, like an inch of Ethernet cord, they end up becoming absolute gajillionaires because of the speed. And so when you think about what that ultimately means, I mean, that means that these are computers that are designed around functioning extremely rationally. They have algorithms built into them that are solely built on rational decision-making and trades. And then Reddit comes along and goes like, yeah, the rational thing to do would be to like not fucking put money into this dying stock, but like, lol, like stonks, here we go, right? And then so this irrational movement suddenly just destroys his hedge fund.
Right.
There was a movie with Jesse Eisenberg called The Hummingbird Project. It came out like 2 years ago. It didn't really get any notice, but it was about, it's a true story about this guy who realized this, maybe it's just happened 10 years ago, but he realized this about the Ethernet, the physical cable distance matters. And so he like trenched, the story is like he trenches across America like a straighter cable line than the other ones that were more zigzaggy. And so he like literally is going through mountains and paying people to go under their houses because the distance would be shorter. And then he finally, like that distance next to the stock exchange physically in New Jersey, made it so they could trade faster on these micro levels. And like once that was like that cat was out of the bag, the barn, the cat. Fuck's cat.
Yeah, once the barn was in the cat, is I think the phrase.
Once the cat's out of the soup bowl.
That they realize it, and then they had to start sort of regulating towards it. But yeah, people are physically like trying to get as close to the machine as possible, which right. seems so archaic.
Well, it's archaic, but it's funny because they're using such high technology, and this is like, this is a wild thing about the stock market. Like people always say this shit. It's like the stock market is this really, it's a really complicated fake mechanic of our whole financial market, our whole financial industry, or our whole, not even financial industry, our whole capitalist society is built on this financial market model that is now at this point, it is like, it doesn't actually, it's not actually tied to logical concepts, right? Like, yeah. I mean, Tesla is a really interesting example, and our pal Shia brought up Tesla, which is a part of the same with Bitcoin, where like hype is such a huge driver for growth in the stock market in a way, which ultimately is just narrative. I mean, you're essentially saying like the narrative, like that's my argument about like GameStop, not really like it's going to devalue dramatically, but it's never going to truly devalue to the point where it was, because the narrative of the stock is now probably, it might actually be a symbolic stock for forever now, where people just go, anytime we are having a rebellion against the stock market, pay attention to the GameStop stock, you know, because yeah. if there's like mass discomfort, like we're in the middle of a pandemic, a lot of people have lost their jobs, you know, student debt is like at a fucking all-time high, you know, we're waiting on these checks that didn't come, everybody hates mm-hmm. Mitch McConnell, we just had a transition, like so all this discontent manifests in something like GameStop then being a symbolic surge that not only does it create new millionaires and actually does create wealth, but it also says, don't fuck with us because we will fuck with you too. Right. And that's just, it's fascinating. It's a really fascinating, fascinating, fascinating moment. So
I love it personally. It's nice to see, even if it's not going to last or anything, like giving hedge fund investors like a few more gray hairs or making some of them contemplate suicide, I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
Dog moves is for killing. Dog moves is for killing.
I woke up and chose violence today. And I don't know. I think they'll probably end up, I mean, they got bailed out basically by right. some, the Citron company or something, giving them some right. $2 billion loan. But at the same time, I'm like, they got pretty scared in the meantime. And right. We did get to show everybody who paid attention, which is a lot of people, that, you know, you can fuck with them. And right. and the market is fucking fake. It's fake.
Right.
You know, it has nothing to do with the company's value.
I mean, another interesting point. So hedge funds obviously have an immense amount of money. And, you know, I don't think, like, this is one of those things where, like, I don't think that Reddit wins at the end here, right? I don't think that they end up winning this, but what I do think it does is it makes a lot more people a lot more aware of some of the things that are happening. And I think that, you know, the question have any mainstream media outlets provide a nuanced reporting on the WSB or GME situation? Or are the hedge funds owning the media narrative? Which is a really good question, because that
they have been owning it, yeah.
They have been owning the media narrative, because a lot of people, you know, a lot of the kind of conversation we're seeing right now is like people coming in and being like, we need regulation. We need to make sure this never happens again. And people are just like, you guys destroyed our whole economy like 5 years ago. Like, what are you talking about, right?
Yeah, let me get on that. I'll make sure it never happens. Never again. Totally. Never again. That's my top priority.
And so one of the people that has actually been really interesting and outspoken is this guy named Chamath Palihapitiya. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
You nailed it. You know,
I nailed it. And I saw this interview. It's now become like a bit of a viral video in itself, and it's all over Wall Street Bets. Wall Street Bets is very, very fucking hyped about this guy. You have the CNBC guy who just is like, yeah, but they can't do this, and he's just like, why can't they do that? That's what you guys do every day. Like, what is the problem, right? Because that's the other thing, too, is like Reddit essentially created a hedge fund in Wall Street Bets by doing this, right?
Yeah.
Like this is very, I mean, we have seen this happen in Reddit several times. It doesn't happen like this. It usually happens in a self-contained Reddit way. But like, this is not different from what happened with Place, right? Like Place, when Place happened, we all look at it, and for anybody who's unfamiliar, Place was one of Reddit's famous April Fool's experiments, where everybody on Reddit kind of participates at once. And in that instance, it was like one big canvas where every Redditor could put one pixel down every like 3 minutes or something. And it became this beautiful tapestry where tribes were created, and like it became this huge art piece. It was one of the most magnificent things I've ever seen. But it was a collective subconscious effort to create something. And I think that this is what's happening with the Wall Street Bets thing. It's a collective subconscious. Well, actually, this one's more conscious. Like, I think everybody kind of collectively had the same goal. But it's a collective idea that we are seeing manifest through the power of a shared logic and a shared value system by way of Wall Street Bets.
Yeah. I was gonna say so per the media, yeah. So if you kind of go around YouTube and you type in GameStop stock, you'll see a lot of clips from Jim Cramer, Mad Money, a lot of CNBC, a lot of mainstream media outlets kind of saying like, this is dangerous, you shouldn't do this. A lot of this is, the word dangerous gets used a lot. This is dangerous.
Right.
I always thought dangerous was tightrope walking while smoking cigarettes in my underpants. But I guess this is dangerous too. And then one of the only videos, there's a show called The Hill on YouTube. It's only on YouTube, and it's a really good show, a political show. And their kind of shtick is the woman on the show is liberal Democrat, and the guy on the show is more conservative Republican, and they're like friendly with each other. They're friends. They like disagree, but they have a conversation. It's like, so what you want the news to be. And so the show's been getting more popular over the last couple of years. And so they do a really good, they've done a good take on this where the guy says, like what you said, Dad, like, why shouldn't they do this? Hedge funds have been doing this for years. Like, they beef up a stock just to tear it down, just to make money off of it. So why not? And then sort of on the idea of like the power of the hedge fund versus the power of this Reddit Wall Street Bets, you know, thing that's happened, you like the reason a hedge fund is powerful is because they have the most money, right? They have a lot of $1 bills, call it.
Well, they also borrow that money, by the way. It's not their money.
It's all, but they have the control of using the most dollar bills, right?
Yes, exactly.
They have access to it. And what Reddit, Wall Street Bets has sort of done, which is like kind of brilliant and kind of a no-brainer, is they've just accumulated 2 million people that all have $10 bills. And so instead of having one place that has $10 trillion bills, they've accumulated 2 million people with $100, right? So the amount of money, the amount of purchasing power might be equivalent or more. It's just spread out amongst a ton of individuals, and the individuals decided to work together versus at a hedge fund. You don't need that agreement. They just
right,
can just use their arsenal. And so I don't think what anybody ever expected would happen is this organization of people online doing one thing together in the stock market for one particular gain or whatever. Right. So to me, like, that light bulb moment is what's going off on these people's heads. They're going, oh my God, if we allow people to organize and dictate or determine prices of things through a platform called Reddit, where it's anonymous also, right, and you can't be traced back to who you are, it could fuck up our whole scam we got running here, which is totally, we control everything. It's our market to manipulate. And so now there's a new way to manipulate the market that's never been done.
Right.
To me is the breaking news of it all.
And I've heard some people call this like financial terrorism, which I think to a degree it feels like. I think it's almost like the right kind of terrorism, of course, but like this is also like a financial protest where, you know, if everybody goes, I mean, you'll see on the posts, like on Wall Street Bets, you see a lot of people just being like, brothers and sisters, hold. They'll tell you to sell, don't sell, hold, right? And that's the kind of the calling on Wall Street Bets, because the more that they hold, the more value it retains, right? And, you know, you generate wealth on the stock when you sell. Well, you generate liquid wealth on the stock when you sell. Like if you have a portfolio that's filled with Tesla stock, you know, you can sell that stock, right? But you can also, you know, the only way to get it liquid is by selling it off. So I could be wrong, but I think that, you know, everybody there, that's like part of what also makes this pretty fun, is like people are going like, I know you can give it up now. I know that it's easy to give it and get the money, and that's what they want you to do. Brothers and sisters, hold firm. There's going to be casualties, but we need to hold, right? And it's fascinating. It's a really interesting kind of collective agreement. The other thing too that's been, there's so many narratives of this. We're not going to be able to get to all of them. I think it's just impossible. But another interesting thing is like you have this guy, former Facebook exec and a billionaire. You also have people like Elon Musk. You have people like Mark Cuban. You know, you have these people who are very, very wealthy, who have participated in the system, have done very well. Elon Musk is a very controversial person, of course, but like part of the reason people think he's controversial is because he is at his core a meme lord. And right, that was one of the things that turned this into like a huge thing, is he actually tweeted out, I think his actual tweet was Game Stonks, right? and you see that and you're like, Elon Musk is such an interesting character because he is the most valuable person in the world. He's the wealthiest man in the world, right? Not all of that is purely, you know, like beautiful ethical growth. You know, he's got a little bit of that Iron Man, Batman thing going on. But I think there's a little bit of this isn't just about beating down people with money. This is about beating down the specific kind of person with money who has institutionalized financial slavery, I guess, you know?
And
like that is, I think, even somebody like Elon Musk goes like, yeah, hedge fund guys, fuck them, dude. I fucking hate those guys. You know what I mean? And versus it being like, oh, yeah, those are my rich compatriots, right? That's not how this works. This is a little bit more like, this is the perception of who the people are versus the perception of who the man is.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting.
I'll be interested to see like what the death toll is after this. Like, I see Elon Musk being like, fuck hedge fund guys, you know, let's do this. He's never going to be broke. You know, he's never going to lose a ton of money and have that make a bit of difference in his life. But kind of like what a lot of these people are saying, in our comments, someone else mentioned too, it's like Wall Street always wins. You know, it's kind of like our economy is a casino and the house always wins. So it's kind of sad. I don't know. It's a little ethically questionable to me to have guys like Elon Musk being like, yeah, I love seeing this. Fuck hedge funds. When they're not the ones that are going to, you know, be that last fool standing who put all this money into
it. I think there is a really interesting, and I do agree with this too. So Jock James Party says that Elon Musk probably has a hedge fund manager. You're probably right. I mean, for sure. Like, there's no question. I think that's definitely the case. But one of the things that I think is really interesting about this too is like a lot of people are like, are they stealing money? That's like one of the big questions in the out of the loop. No, they're not stealing money. The money doesn't actually leave the market. Like, it's just exchanging hands. So what I think, like my like long-term conspiracy on this that I actually think is probably going to be really, really fascinating to watch is, we are watching billionaires and millionaires be born kind of overnight through this. Whether or not they actually have liquid cash, it depends. Because again, if you invest all this money and you can't extract it, then you end up just like when the stock goes back down to normal or whatever, then whatever normal will be for GameStop. I mean, we don't know, but like, you know, if you didn't liquidate, you're not going to be, you're just going to have a dead stock at that point. However, right. The people who have, we are seeing a bunch of kinds of person who is an atypical kind of person who now has a lot of money, right?
Right.
Which I think is actually really interesting, because that's kind of the Elon Musk thing to a degree. It's like, yes, Elon Musk has an immense amount of money, whatever. But like when I've been watching kind of some of the stories about people who are going to potentially be extremely rich from this, I always think about that scene in Garden State with the guy who like invented the Velcro that doesn't make sound. And he just is like a doofus who has like this mansion and just like throws rockets in the air and shit. But I think that that's kind of going to be an interesting thing where we're going to have hopefully a lot of people in Wall Street Bets that suddenly have a lot more money than they did before. And yes, the hedge fund guys are going to be like, you fucking clowns. Well, you can't touch me. I still got money to burn my cigars with, you know, to light $100 bills and burn my cigars. But like the people who only had $65 to their name previously, who now suddenly have $200K,
yeah.
They might be putting that money back into the economy in a really interesting way, where they're going to be buying different kinds of things.
Buying seven Miatas with 200K.
Right, yeah, or the other thing too is like there's potential for like for political funding, right? I mean, if you think about the way that certain political movements happen too, where we're seeing again like this kind of takedown of boomer mentality through this shit, and you know what kind of politician is going to be deserving of the money that the Wall Street Bets people have been making, right? Like you're not going to be seeing Lindsey Graham take their money, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be seeing very, very interesting characters that they want to see in the White House, right?
Gang gang.
Yeah.
Or in the Congress or whatever. And so that I think is actually a really fascinating ripple effect of this, is like once the money has been made, if the money is retained, where does it go? Right?
Yeah.
Dog Moves, could you do Lindsey Graham trying to order a sandwich at Subway? I feel his voice makes me laugh quite a bit.
Shit. God, I don't know if I've ever heard that man speak. So
you haven't? Oh, he sounds like a Southern dandy.
A Southern dandy. Doesn't sound like a Southern dandy.
He's very peculiar. Everything about him is peculiar.
Okay, peculiar. Let me try this. Oh, hello there. Yes, I'd like to get myself a 6-inch tuna sub. Oh, no, you're going to want to hold that sauce because I only like oil on my tuna. See?
Man, but why are you rubbing your nipples while you tell me your sandwich order? That's really weird.
Oh, these aren't my nipples.
Constituents' nipples. What?
Guys.
I'm only 17 and I just got this job.
Well, I'll just keep moving along then.
We got some Reddit server problems. I think we have too many listeners that are all trying to get on Reddit at the same time.
Maybe, you know what? I think Wall Street's trying to take down Reddit.
This is Bilderberg
shit.
Possible. I mean, it is. It's also very interesting. God damn, dude, this is fucking crazy. It is actually really interesting too when you think about everything that happened with Parler last week, right? We kind of look at it and we go, like, damn, like, fuck them, fuck Parler, like, get the hell out of here. But like, we are potentially going to see the same thing with something like Reddit, right? Where we've seen it in the past, but like, lest we forget. Well, Reddit is partially owned by Tencent, which is like a very significant Chinese company that I can nobody fucks with China money, right? So like if this has anything to do with like the actual market, like
that's for our company.
Yeah.
Nobody fucks with China money. That was a leopard ate my face kind of an idea that I think is important, but sort of right. the teardown of Parler for whatever was going on there.
Right.
It's not the whatever was going on, it's the teardown to me that's interesting. And totally. If they can tear down Parler, they can tear down Reddit. And
exactly.
And so that's, to me, like the idea that should be being discussed, not the racist stuff. Like that shit's always going to go on somewhere. It's the idea that you can remove these platforms where people can do whatever they want to do. And taking out a hedge fund is one of those things. And so removing it removes the power from the people to, you know.
Oh.
I know. So this is so the big story that's really happening and developing, honestly, as we speak, is the Robin Hood takedown, right? Because like we're literally seeing, like, I mean, this is an interesting post, right? Class action against Robin Hood, allowing people to only sell is the definition of market manipulation, right?
Yeah.
A class action must be started. Robin Hood has made plenty of money off selling info about our trades to the hedge funds to be able to pay out a little for causing people to lose money now. So a lot of people now are turning on Robin Hood, which is fascinating because this is how people are doing this, right? They're doing this through Robin Hood, but now what they're doing is a financial crime because they're saying, oh fuck, a lot of people are using our app to do this. We can't let them do this anymore. Right.
That's fucked up.
It's really, really fucked up.
They should be proud of it, right? They should be like, yeah, we're the motherfuckers that are the disruptors. Like,
yeah, why not?
Right.
They're calling themselves Robin Hood.
All their ads, by the way, are about like for the young person, the disruptor, the millennial. And it's like, yeah, well, this is how they're using it.
Yeah, I mean, all the baby boomers that are in charge of the brand are like, oh, fuck.
Exactly.
We're actually stealing from the rich and giving to the poor, like Robin Hood.
This is tinfoil hat shit because... That company is a young company and they're aiming for young people and they're getting exactly what they planned for. This is like a fantastic moment for the company.
Right.
They should be proud of it, but they're pulling back. And you gotta think like, huh, who and why are forcing them to pull back? And to me, it's Bilderberg, tinfoil hat shit, aliens, lizard people. Hillary Clinton is probably pulling the strings.
Yep. Well, it's Tom Hanks. Yeah. Tom Hanks is using Robin Hood to pay for his adrenochrome, right? And so
while he's sipping a martini of child stem cell.
Exactly.
Holy shit.
Exactly. You heard it here first, guys. Like we have finally unlocked it. All right. So here's actually another thing. By the way, thank you for all of our listeners right now that are actively feeding us tips on this. I mean, this is an ongoing thing, and I think all of you people are really fucking smart.
This is a collaborative episode.
I gotta be totally honest, I'm really intimidated by all of our listeners that are clearly way smarter than me.
Yeah.
But man, I'll call you guys our field reporters right now.
Our men and women and they in the street. Our resident teens.
Yeah, thanks.
As we like to call them.
Awesome.
All right.
Yeah.
So Robin Hood is a FINRA, FINRA, regulated broker dealer registered with the U.S. Securities Exchange Commission and is a member of the Security Investors Protection Corporation. So it is the man, right? So Robin Hood is not some young upstart. It is still a financial services company that functions as a financial services company, which just, you know, that is what is happening right now. This is a takedown of financial services in a lot of ways. And Robinhood being a financial services company is a part of that. So
they should change their name to the Sheriff of Nottingham.
The Sheriff of Nottingham app.
Boom! You just got roasted, bitch.
Get lifted.
Okay, man, I'm stonked right now.
Oh, feeling the stonks running through my veins. Had a nice adrenochrome shot this morning.
Yeah,
just making money hand over fist.
I need one of those Tom Hanks teenies full of teeny little stem cells. You know what I'm talking about.
So we're getting low on time, which sucks because I want to do this all day, of course. These are so many plot lines, and we're aware of all the plot lines that kind of go into this. And if you're just listening, I'm hopefully going to post this by Friday because obviously this shit's moving really fast, but. I don't know if I'm going to cut out some of the interactions with the fans because I know that, you know, for just listeners, it maybe is obnoxious, but our Jock Jams party has mentioned this is why Bitcoin is important, which is very true because I think Bitcoin is a decentralized form of currency. I actually would argue that Ethereum is more important because I think Ethereum is a little bit more, it's Bitcoin is like Bitcoin is like the GameStop, right? Ethereum is like AMC, right?
Where we're driving up the Ethereum price. I like it. Insider trading.
Exactly.
I know. Let's get rich.
You heard it first. But it's a decentralized currency. So I think this is kind of what people are going. This is where the conversation is going to be going now. People are going to be going like, you know, we know that the financial services industry controls all the actual money. So we need something decentralized, i.e. Bitcoin, Dogecoin. There's a lot of like Tron, like there's a ton of cryptocurrencies out there. They all have different purposes and different like ways of being valued. But it all comes down to that idea of like, we can't rely on financial services as our as our puppeteer because they're not trustworthy. They break and then they fuck with us. Their intentions are very clear. So it's all very interesting. But anyway, so to close this one out, there is a, so this is a, there's a couple really, really significant posts, right? So I think the big story right now is Robin Hood really is now become the demon, because a lot of everybody's made their money using Robin Hood here. And also, by the way, Wall Street Bets, like, we deliberately did not talk about Wall Street Bets as the subreddit in the way that we typically do, because it is honestly, we've gotten a lot of requests about it over the years. We do want to talk about Wall Street Bets, but I want to be able to talk about it with, like, really talking about the history, kind of the way they function, some of the psychology behind what they're doing, some of the language they use. They love using the R word as a lol. They're like kind of these right left who knows nihilist types. It's a really interesting culture. I don't want to overly get into it, but the reason I bring all that up is because they have a history with Robin Hood where they have also exposed some of Robin Hood's flaws in the past, very famously, that made Robin Hood have to change some of their systems because of Wall Street Bets. And so we're seeing again, like, Robin Hood must fucking hate Wall Street Bets because they constantly are doing these things that make them have to literally change their business model. Yeah. And so this is another example of that, where we're seeing kind of Robin Hood both be the beneficiary of Wall Street Bets, but also the antagonist to Wall Street Bets. Mm. But the post I wanted to read is this actual, or not the class action one. Where is it? It's,
In the meantime, I'll read a AOC tweet from this morning. Gotta admit, it's really something to see Wall Streeters with long history of treating our economy as a casino complain about a message board of posters treating the market like a casino. Anyways, tax the rich. AOC, I'm out.
Oh,
she's so funny.
So AOC's on board with Reddit.
She's in.
She's on board, and she's also like, she's like, She is like kind of the representative of this in a way.
Yeah, right? She's like, we look actual at her, Robin Hood.
She is kind of like actual Robin Hood. And I think we have seen a few different politicians kind of do this, right? Where there have been a few people that have come out and have said, you can't do this. This doesn't make sense. This is not good. Like, we got to shut down Reddit. But then you've had a couple other people who are smart and know, go, no, that's not how this works. You can't, mm-hmm. you can't say that you have to do that. So
a lot of private school kids are going to get kicked out this week up in the Northeast.
The what? What'd you say?
A lot of private school kids are going to lose their scholarships, if you know what I mean, this week.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So this is a post that I thought was, this is a really good, I think, way to end this. That kind of talks about the overall attitude and why I think this is probably happening. And I think it's actually a pretty endearing note. It's been very popular. I don't know why it was kind of hidden on the front page. I couldn't find it. But an open letter to Melvin Capital, CNBC, Boomers, and Wall Street Bets is this title, right? So, mods, do not delete. This is important to me. Please read. And this is pretty special because, like I said, it got 123,000 upvotes.
Wow.
So this is I think this really resonates and it kind of almost feels like the manifesto of the whole movement right now. So I was in my early teens during the 08 crisis. I vividly remember the enormous repercussions that the reckless actions by those on Wall Street had in my personal life and the lives of those close to me. I was fortunate. My parents were prudent and a little paranoid, and they had some food storage saved up. When the crisis hit our family, we were able to keep our little house, but we lived off of pancake mix and powdered milk and beans and rice for a year. Ever since then, my parents have kept a food storage, and they keep it updated and fresh. Those close to me, my friends and extended family, were not nearly as fortunate. My aunt moved in with us and paid what little rent she could to my family while she tried to find any sort of work. Do you know what tomato soup made of school cafeteria ketchup packets tastes like? My friends got to find out. Almost a year after the crisis low, my dad had stabilized our income stream, and to help out others, he was hiring my friends' dads for odd housework. One of them built a new closet in our guest room. Another one did some landscaping in our backyard. I will forever be proud of my parents because in a time of need, when even when I had no doubt money was still tight, they had the mindfulness and compassion to help those out who absolutely needed it. To Melvin Capital, you stand for everything I hated during that time. You're a firm who makes money off of off of exploiting a company and manipulating markets and media to your advantage. Your continued existence is a sharp reminder that the ones in charge of so much hardship during the 08 crisis were not punished. And your blatant disregard for the law, made obvious months ago through your, for the Melvin lawyers out there, alleged illegal naked short selling, and more recently your obscene market manipulation after hours, shows that you haven't learned a single thing since 08. And why would you? Your ilk were bailed out and rewarded for terrible and illegal financial decisions that negatively changed the lives of millions. I bought shares a few days ago. I dumped my savings in GME, paid my rent for this month with my credit card, and dumped my rent money into more GME, which for the people here at WSB, I would not recommend, which is actually a common theme. You see people being like, I'm all in, but don't do that. It's you know, weird. And I'm holding. This is personal for me and millions of others. You can drop the price of GME after hours, $120. I'm not going anywhere. You can pay for thousands of Reddit bots. I'm holding. You can get every mainstream media outlet to demonize us. I don't care. I'm making this as painful as I can for you. To CNBC, you must realize your short-term gains through promoting institutions' agenda is just that, short-term. Your staple audience will soon become too old to care, and the millions of us, not just WSB, but every person affected by the 08 crash that's now paying attention to GME, are going to remember how you stuck up your firms that ruined so many of us. And tried to tear down the little guys. I know for sure I'll remember this. In response, here's a list of CNBC sponsors and partners. They include, but are not limited to, IBM, Cisco, T-Mobile, JP Morgan, Oracle, ZipRecruiter. Their parent company is NBC Universal. And then the Wikipedia article for NBC Universal. Owned by Comcast and GE. To the boomers and or people close to that age, just now paying attention to these millennial blog posts, you realize that even if you weren't adversely affected by the 08 crash, your children and perhaps your grandchildren most likely were. We're not enemies. We're on the same side. Stop listening to the media that's making us out of the market destroyers and start rooting for us, because we have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to punish the sort of people who caused so much pain and distress a decade ago. And we're taking that opportunity. Your children, your grandchildren might have suffered, as I described, because of the institutions that we're fighting against. You really want to choose them over your own family and friends? We're not asking you to risk your 401k or retirement fund on a single GME bet. We're just asking you to be understanding, supportive, and to not support the people that caused so much suffering a decade ago. To Wall Street bets, you are all amazing. I imagine that I'm not the only one that this is personal for. I've read myself so many posts on what you guys went through during the 08 crash. Whether you're here for the gains, to stick it to the man as I am, or just to be a part of a potentially market-changing moment, or movement, thank you. Each and every one of you are just the reason that we all have this chance. I've never felt this optimistic about the future before. This is life-changing amounts of money for so many of you. And to be a part of a rare instance of wealth distribution from rich to poor is just incredible. I love you all. Note, I can't seem to get a hold of mods, and they keep fucking removing the post. I have no idea how to get this to stick, and it's important to me that the people I'm addressing read it.
That's awesome.
Preach, so Trevor. Amazing. Yeah. So I like read that, and I like almost like have tears in my eyes, because I'm just like, man, like this is like, it's just so funny. It's interesting that we did Leopards Ate Your Face last week too, because this is like, it's the cyclical relationship between narrative, I guess, right? Where Robin Hood is the app. It's called fucking Robinhood, right? Yeah. And it's now being demonized because Robinhood is changing their value system, when literally what this person is saying is Robinhood. Their whole thing is, we need to like that moment at the end where it's talking about this is a redistribution of wealth. Like, that's what this is about. It's not about like making tons of fucking money. Like, to some people it might be, but really ultimately what it is giving some money to the people who fucking suffered and saying, like, suck my dick, Wall Street.
Yeah. Right?
And like, that is interesting. I know.
This feels, it feels cleaner than, you know, taxation or something like that. It's like an organized movement towards a specific group of people in an open free market forum where this is the game. So
totally,
something like this could happen versus like a politician saying, let's just tax everyone more. You're like, well, that's not, doesn't quite solve all the problems.
This is using the rules against them. I mean, this reminds me, the other thing I've been thinking a lot about as this has been happening has been the like kind of famous, hilarious, but also like really, I think, symbolically important bit of news when it was the Satanic Church put the Baphomet statue in front of like the Arkansas legislator.
Yes.
Because they had put up a table of commandments where you're kind of like, you guys did this under freedom to like, what is it? Like freedom to practice any religion or whatever. So, okay, cool. We're going to do that too. And they go, well, you can't do that. That one's not allowed though. You can't do that one. And yeah. They're like, that's not the rule. The rule is we can do this. We're practicing our free religion. You're practicing your free religion. And so they end up having to take down the table or the fucking, 10 commandments. Right.
God.
And this is like what what happens after this is going to be fascinating to watch, because there's inevitably going to be lobbying for new kinds of financial regulation, right? Mm-hmm. And to some degree, like for good reason. Like I understand the world cannot exist in a state of chaos with the financial market. It makes sense, right? However, I think it's again one of those things where like find the rules and exploit them and do what they do to you. The sad and weird thing that's going to end up happening, which I'm very, very worried about, is going to be kind of what we see with like colleges right now, right? Where it's just like, oh yeah, no, to get a really good career and to like have a good life for yourself, you have to go to this $200,000 college, right? And then a lot of people just go, I can't fucking do that. So it ends up creating a barrier of entry, right? And and that might happen here, where all of a sudden it might be like, to even get invested in the act of trading, you have to put down 10 grand to start, right?
That's or 100 how it's grand been start, the know? Whole time. And Robinhood, sort of their whole idea was, let's take that away.
Totally.
And let's let the, you know, the noobs and the kids get in the game, and then they go ahead and they throw a party.
Yeah, they were too good at it. Totally.
I think the college thing is interesting too, Dad, because it would be nice to see a little bit of a revolution on the idea of paying for college, or at least like bankrupting yourself for your whole life to go to college for a job that is not guaranteed. Like that scam to me is clearly a scam. Like, it would be nice if people on Reddit decided that, you know, for 2 years, people are not going to take out federal loans and use them for colleges, and they're just not going to go to college. And like, it would be nice to buck that system a little bit to see how much money you could take away, because they're all just getting rich off of it.
Right.
You know, in exchange for people being in debt for so long, you're like, well, fuck that, dude.
Right.
Don't do it. Like, don't do it, young people. Don't do it. And in the coronavirus is a good example of like, they're still trying to charge you for the same education from home.
Totally.
Like, is there value there? You know, like,
yeah.
Yeah, and I think it is. It's a takedown of institutions, right? Like, I mean, that's really the theme, and that's kind of the real story here. I mean, we are in the midst of, I mean, I keep describing this. I was explaining it to my girlfriend last night, and I was like, this is the most important moment potentially on the internet ever. And she was just like, get the fuck out of here, dude. What are you talking about? And I was just like, no, like, I'm not kidding. Like, this is like billions of dollars have changed hands to people who did not have that before. There's a lot of symbology about the takedown of institutions that are causing a lot of reckless behavior. You know, the other interesting thing about this is like, obviously, if you've listened to this podcast before, we are left leaning, for lack of a better term. But, you know, this is very Trumpian, right? This is a thing where people just go, we're sick of the swamp. We're gonna vote for anarchy and nihilism instead of reason and like, you know, the system that is, right?
It's interesting.
And I obviously hate it, but there are also parallels to, again, like the Parler thing, right? Where like Discord shutting down the Wall Street Bets server, right? Like, now granted, Wall Street Bets, from what I've heard, even from the mods on Wall Street Bets, like the Wall Street Bets is like a bit of an unethical zone. Like there really are, like, it's a little bit more 4chan-y, you know? So there's some shit, right? But it still is the same thing where you just kind of go, what happens if they shut down the Wall Street Bets subreddit because of pressure from financial regulators, right? Like, what does that mean? Like, that's a really wild idea.
I think with the with Ajit Pai stepping down from the FCC and, you know, the potential like reopening of internet channels, blah, 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 Biden, everyone's expecting Biden to be this great savior for more freedom. Right. I don't think you're going to get it with Biden. I think he's more entrenched with the sort of powers that be. I don't think the problems, it's a whole nother ball of wax, but like you might actually see more regulation because of this that feels less liberal and more conservative, I bet, coming from the Biden administration on this to protect their fundraisers and their base who you know, are just trying to keep their wealth. So now all the more reason like a guy like Yang is like interesting because like I think at least he like understands these kinds of ideas. Biden died 2 weeks ago, a lot of people are saying, and he's been walking around with that meat puppet suit on. It's actually Jim Carrey under there.
It's pretty, it's a wild time, ladies and gents.
Yeah, man.
Biden's going to make it 4 years?
I think he'll make it, I think, I don't fucking know, dude. That's a whole different conversation.
Okay.
I mean, that's, let's you know,
short,
it's,
I'm going to short that stock right there. I'm going to short that stock.
Shorten Biden's lifespan.
I have to look into my tea leaves and I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
I mean, I think there is, I mean, it's going to be like, follow this story. And I think broadly about the implications here. Cause you know, we're talking about, we're talking a lot about, you know, like this is another interesting, so the SEC, Gary Gensler. So also, by the way, I believe the new head of the SEC has historically come down pretty hard on Wall Street. If I remember,
he was a Goldman Sachs billionaire. He crushed it. He made a shitload of cashish. Then Obama hired him to be his dog on the streets. And then he was very strict on post 2008. Regulations because he understands the system. So he's a guy from the swamp who now like controls the swamp.
Yeah.
I don't know. Feels fishy. I think it's time to make, as fuck. Like, how do you understand all that?
Yeah.
Make Elon Musk the head of the SEC. That's what I want.
I want Lindsey Graham to be the head of the SEC.
Oh, hey, yes. Hi, y'all.
Who wants to trade some stocks?
Who wants some stock trading, y'all?
Oh, my God. All right. Well, I think it's time. We're getting in Joe Rogan time. So I think we got to cut this one now. But thank you all for participating in the gamification of Did You Reddit? Which has kind of been what this is. We're hopefully this is going to come out on Friday, and you know, hopefully we're kind of have some exciting real revelations. I mean, I know that you may have, if you're listening on Spotify in particular, you may have heard ads playing in front of the pod now.
Oh my god.
I don't know how that started happening. I think our network started doing that, and but it's cool. I mean, we haven't heard any like, you know, Nazi propaganda or anything like that. So support Simply Safe or whatever they're fucking putting in front of our stuff.
Verbo, and, classy.
Yeah, and anybody, and when we get that money, we'll
give it to you.
We're gonna do. We're gonna
buy the stock market.
Short the stock market. Exactly. We're gonna short the stock market. But we'll be back next week. This is another episode of Did You Reddit, a weekly podcast about the internet by way of Reddit, the front page of the world at this point, the front page of the universe.
I'm going to go ahead and say the whole Andromeda Galaxy, dude.
The whole Andromeda Galaxy. My name is It's Your Dad.
I'm Bear Boobs.
I'm My Friday Buy High Sell Blow.
Donkey Kong 69 signing out.
Hold.
All right, fast.
Hold. See you later.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.